nine gifts, and the primary gift we read about is the gift of tongues. Now, to be honest with you, I have had a little Spanish in high school and never really learned it, but I can say, hombre, si la marina hace mi que mi hermana, tanto mejor, te guardan el sí, chico, no sé, mamá quiere que la acompañe, y sea la... A la tienda, se lo voy a decir y entonces te esperamos. No te has dicho, enseguida voy hasta luego. Now, I don't know what I said, you don't know what I said. Even if you speak Spanish, you don't know what I said. Because all I have done is just strung together some Spanish dialogues and used the accent, you know. And yet that, you know, the idea of speaking in tongues in the Bible means the ability to speak in a language like Spanish that I don't know, because the Holy Spirit supernaturally gives you the ability to speak in that foreign language. And when you did it, you had to have somebody interpret it. Just like if somebody goes to a foreign country and they do know Spanish, and I'm sorry, they know English, they don't know Spanish, but they have an interpreter there, so when I say something in English, the interpreter then I would wait, and he would say it in Spanish. And that's how it goes. Well, that's how it was done in the New Testament, you see. And the same would be with German, for instance. I don't know German, but you could do it that way. Or let's say French. It could be done with French. And so the Apostle Paul was talking about the supernatural gifts of these foreign languages that were given to people to speak the Word of God. And they were given during the times of the apostles. They were called sign gifts. 2 Corinthians 12:12. 12 apostles, 12 verse 12. They were sign gifts of the apostles. In other words, to get those gifts, you had to have one of the 12 apostles present to minister that gift. That's why Paul said he would go to Rome, that he might impart to them somewhat spiritual gift, that they would be established. And so during the apostolic foundation of the church, Ephesians chapter 2, when God was building, and it was before they had the entire canon of the Bible. And so the foundation of the church was built upon the apostles, who had revelatory gifts and signs, and the prophets. And so it was given, you see, to edify, that is, to build up the church during that time. And one of those gifts was not only the ability to speak in a foreign language, but the gift of prophecy. And prophecy, get this, was the ability to receive direct revelation from God and then speak it to the people. Now, when I'm preaching to you, am I giving you direct revelation from God? God's giving me the exact words and then I give it to you? No, not in that sense, but I have the revelation written down of the prophets and the apostles, so I am prophesying to you in that sense. Yeah. Preaching is prophesying in that sense, that I'm preaching to you the prophesied word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the last verse that Brother Z read and we read was 1 Corinthians 14:25, and I'll read it. It says, "And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down in his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth." In other words, when the word of God is preached, the prophetic word of God, whether it's through a prophet giving direct revelation or a preacher prophesying through the prophetic word of God that's already been given, it should cause the secrets, listen, of your heart to be revealed. And it should cause you to fall down on your face and worship God. You say, why do you have an altar call at the end of your service? It's for you and for anybody out there that God has spoken to, listen to me, to your heart. Through the word that's preached, it will show you things in your life that are not right with God. Perhaps you're not saved. You're not going to heaven. And it shows you that, the preaching of the word. Or perhaps you are a child of God. You are going to heaven. But you're not right with God in some area of your life. It should show you that before God. And your response should be to God, to worship God. And to say, God, I want to get my life right with you. And you fall down in your face. That's why you come to the altar. You're falling down in your face, not before man, but before God, who used his word, the prophesying of his word, the preaching of his word to you, you see, so you would have that response. And so biblical preaching today is to do that in your life, and you should have a personal relationship to God and benefit from preaching. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, how you should benefit from preaching. And I only want to say two things, but I want to say quite a bit about those two things, how you should benefit from preaching. I was talking to somebody this morning, and they were saying it's so hard to get to church. It's so hard to get to church, and there's so many pressures. Let me tell you something. You can't afford not to be in church. There's nothing more valuable to you than to be in church and to get the message of the prophetic word of the living God. It is so important to your life. And how can you benefit from preaching? I want to say, number one, by realizing its importance for your spiritual bodybuilding. We read the word edify. One of the men can tell me, I'm sure, the word edify means to build. You build your life upon something solid. Just like you build your house, you better build it not on sand, but on a solid foundation. Right. I was at Elgin's house, and he's building solid foundations over there. He's got a great house, and it was really neat to see it yesterday at Camille's birthday. But your spiritual life, your life needs to be built on a solid foundation. What is that foundation? Your faith needs to be in Jesus Christ, who died and rose again so that our sins could be taken away. Have you relied upon him? Have you trusted in him as your Savior? If you haven't, you're not standing on a solid foundation, and sooner or later you're going to sink and you're going to wind up in hell, and preaching will tell you that. And so it will help you to build your life on a solid foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. Now, somebody has said, you are what you eat. How many have heard that? You are what you eat. It is so important what you put in your body, because it will build the cells of your body. It will build the tissues of your body. It will build the muscles of your body, or it will build the flab and the fat in your body. And food and exercise will build your physical body, and you'll be healthy and live long and good. And the Bible word for building your spiritual life is the word edify, or edifying. It means to build or to build up. So when the Apostle Paul spoke about prophesying as preaching God's word, he says this: seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. In other words, if I'm going, that's not edifying you. You don't understand it.
Right.
As somebody said to me, sometimes Spanish-speaking people don't want to come because it's in English and they don't understand it, you know. And I said, my goal ultimately is to have a Spanish pastor and a Spanish church here. I want to have a Spanish church because I want Spanish-speaking people to understand the word of God and be edified, or to be built spiritually on the solid foundation. That's the theme of our church, building lives on solid foundation. And that's why it's important that you're here today, and that you are hearing the message of the word of God, and that you're understanding what the man of God is saying. And preaching today is meant to edify, to build your life on solid foundation, so that you become saved, born again, that you become a mature, serving, or ministering, well-developed, Christ-like believer. You can love people. You can benefit people. And what a blessed and wonderful thing that is. And by the way, I see that going on in this church. It's proven out in this church. And the preaching of the Word of God in church will do that in your life. Now, the enemy knows that you can benefit from preaching. He knows it will build up your spiritual life and build your life on a solid foundation. And so what will he do? He will attack preaching in your life. And he will attack your relationship to the preacher, because Jesus said a house divided against itself cannot stand. So the enemy wants you to believe the authority that God gives the preacher in the pulpit is, get this, to hurt you. It's to tear you down. It's to humiliate you. It's to shame you. I said it's to shame you. Now, Paul said, I don't say these things to shame you. No, that's not the purpose. It's rather to build you, to edify you. That is the word. That's what God says. Now, let me explain. Our first pastor said that in building you, in spiritual bodybuilding, you know, you see these bodybuilders, in spiritual bodybuilding, you need to have a breaking down before you have a building up. Even when you lift weights, doesn't it break down your muscles? Then they repair and build stronger. So you need to have a breaking down. And our pastor, our former pastor used to say, there is a breaking ministry and there is a building ministry. I think of Bob Gosnell. I love Bob Gosnell. He's departed. But Bob Gosnell, under the architect Joe Slobodnik, he rebuilt our kitchen. And does anybody remember our kitchen the way it used to be? And after Bob, yeah, my wife, she remembers that. She's got her hand up. But it was ugly. It was constricted. It was not good. It's like my son's kitchen with Greg and my son working on that kitchen. They have transformed that. It's just changed. And they're doing it more and more. I was over there last night. It's just a try. But I remember Bob Gosnell. He came into the house and he just started knocking things apart. I mean, just smashing everything and carrying it out, Brother Bob, just dumping out loads of trash. He trashed our kitchen. But it wasn't done under the drawings that Joe gave him. He built that thing up and blessed that thing and it looked, and we don't take our countertops for granted, Brother Bob. We don't take it for granted. I mean, we got granite in there. I mean, it was built up. It was blessed. It was built, and it looks great. And what I'm trying to say to you is, your life sometimes, it has to be broken by the Word of God. And you have to see how messed up your life is. And before you get saved, you have to realize you're a sinner on your way to hell. And then you can get the message. And so that needs to happen. And the Apostle Paul said it this way. He said, though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us, for what? Edification. And not for your destruction. I should not be ashamed. Listen, I've been given authority as a preacher. My authority comes from the Word of God that I preach. But it is not for you to be destroyed, even though things in your life that are not good may be destroyed by this message. Things that are harmful, if you've got cancer, it will expose it. But it's not to destroy you. It's to heal your life and to build up your spiritual body. That's to edify. And so preaching is meant for that. And you need to realize that. It's for you as believers. The preaching of the words from this pulpit, it says, may expose the secret thoughts and sins to you as God sees them. You know, confessing your sin. You ever hear that? Confess your sin. Didn't you preach on that the other day in chapel? Confessing your sin. That means you agree with God about your sin. You take God's side. You don't call adultery a sickness. You don't call adultery an affair. That sounds exciting. Or a fling. You call it adultery. You see, you call it by what it is. Drunkenness, alcohol. That isn't a sickness. I have alcoholism. No, it's that you are a drunkard. You have a habit of being under the control of a destructive alcohol that is terrible for your life, terrible for your wife, terrible for your home, and robs us and destroys us. And so, yeah, those things need to be exposed, and the authority of the preacher is given to do that so you can be replaced with something so much better. So you can be a good husband, a good father, and a good contributor. And so you got to get rid of the cancer and the tumors so then that you can eat and take vitamins. My mother had an infection. She had to take antibiotic. I kept telling her, got to take that, kill that thing. But now you need to drink cranberry juice. Now you need to take vitamin C. Now you need to take zinc and so forth and to build up your body. The enemy knows this, and so he'll attack your mind to make you think that the preacher is trying to humiliate you before others, rather than to rip the old junk wood out of your life so that you can be built up for God. And the enemy will attack it. And then some people try to stay away from preaching for that reason. By the way, I like it wherever you're sitting and when you can hear my voice, but I used to love to be right on the front row. I wanted to not miss anything. And when I was in Bible college, Dr. Ware and I, we used to sit right on that front row, you know, where we could almost get spit upon when the preacher was preaching, you know, the holy water, you know. But I went through, and we have gone through attacks on this pulpit, just like Donald Trump is under attack. Why? Because he's trying to benefit the country. And he's not under the globalists that are under Satan, that are trying to destroy our country. See, that gets under attack. And when the preacher is fighting the devil and helping you to get saved and then to grow, the devil doesn't like it. And so he will attack confrontational preaching as it happened back in 1987 in our church. And one attacker of my preaching back then, the attacker made this negative statement. He said, well, look at that guy up there preaching away, banging that pulpit and preaching that Bible. He said, the proof of the pudding. Look at the proof of the pudding. In other words, he was looking at the people that sit there and listen to this preaching. And he was saying, look at the proof of the pudding. Those people that stay in that church. We're too good for that church. We've left it. We've gotten away from that King James Bible preaching stuff. And Miss Patty was in the church then, and we were going to a big conference out in Hammond, Indiana. Dr. Jack Hiles had the conference, and we were going out there, and they all had their clothes on. We had a number of people from our church that went out there, and that was during the time when the person said, look at the proof of the pudding of Bloom's preaching. Look at the proof of the pudding. Look at those people. And so when we got to the conference, Miss Patty had under her shirt, and others in our church had under her shirt, unbeknownst to me, a big picture of Pastor Bloom, and under it said, the proof of the pudding. The proof of the pudding. And I was like, wow, that was a cool idea that Miss Patty came up with. And she's always been very loyal. And that's been her strength. And loyal to the word, loyal to the preacher, loyal. And she had that up there. And I remember, I think it was my 25th anniversary as the head pastor of this church. And I was they were having a big anniversary celebration for it. And Brother Joe was heading it up. Dr. Ware came, and we had a great time. And never forget this, Brother Joe, at the end of everything, he opened his shirt up. And you know, Brother Joe, when he opens his shirt, you think you're going to see a big S, Superman, because he's such a great Christian, you know. But he opened his shirt up, and there was my ugly mug, my picture, and it said, the proof of the pudding. And you know what? Brother Joe got saved under my preaching years ago up on Wayne Avenue. And he is the proof of the pudding, that this word preached right here will benefit your life. And it will bless your life if you'll stay under it. A lot of people left it, but Brother Joe stayed. A lot of people said, we're too good for it. But Brother Joe said, no, not me. I'm not too good for the preached word of God. I need it, and I'll respond to it. And Brother Joe didn't go with those people who had that mentality and that attitude. So how you should benefit from preaching, you, like Brother Joe, like Miss Patty, you need to realize the importance of it for your spiritual bodybuilding. And don't get the mentality that it's here to break me down. It's here to put me down. It's here to shame me. That comes from the world. That may come from a bad relationship you had with somebody. But listen, that's not your Heavenly Father. That's not God. And the preaching of the Word of God, realize it's to benefit and make you spiritually, body built up spiritually. And number two, and lastly, you need to realize it's tailor-made. for your spiritual adorning. Let me read what the Bible says about that. It says that ye may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. That means to decorate. That means to look good. My wife decorates our house around Christmas. I just love to be around our house when my wife decorates. She does such a good job of decorating it. If I had to decorate, it would be a mess. But she decorates so nice, our house. And she does a great job at the church. And Miss Angela does a great job. And they've worked together. But it's just wonderful how decoration is something that you like to look at, you know. And the Bible says, if you sit under tailor-made preaching, it will decorate you just like good clothes. You know, my wife likes to get me good clothes to decorate my body. My body needs decoration. And she will get me good clothes and at a good price. And she just got me a bomber jacket, a World War II bomber jacket. I think it's a real World War II bomber jacket. It's really cool. And she got that for me for how much? I don't even know. $3, a beautiful leather bomber jacket. And I put that thing on with a tie and I said, man, that looks good. Look at that thing. I really like that. And it made me look good. And that's what preaching is meant to do for you. It's to make you look good. You ever heard, not only you are what you eat, but clothes make the man? How many have heard of that? Clothes make the man. And so she makes me look good, Brother Bruce, with the threads, with the clothes, you know. And that's what preaching is meant, listen to me, to do in your life. It's to make God look good through you. It's to make the Bible look good through your life, you see. That's what it's supposed to do in your life. I remember I went to Walmart one time right up there in Dixon City, and there was a guy that was on the news. He was an anchor man for the local TV news. Nice looking young man, and I remember him walking through Walmart, and I had come through, bought my stuff, and I was sitting on a bench just watching people in Walmart for a few minutes because I was waiting for somebody. I don't remember exactly what. But anyway, I was watching this newsman as he went through Walmart and as he checked out. And do you know what? He made the news station look very good, the way he treated people. He treated them so well, so kindly. He noticed everybody, and he was nice to everybody. And I watched him all the way out, and I said, wow, that's a good example of how we ought to be. Right. We ought to make the church look good. We ought to make the preaching of the word look good. We ought to make Jesus Christ and him giving us the gift of heaven look good just by the way we walk and talk and by the way we live our life. And preaching is meant for you to adorn the doctrine, the teaching of the gospel, and to make it look good in the watching world's eyes as they look at it. And so sometimes my wife will come in with a whole box of clothes. And I'm studying, and I don't want to get up and try on clothes. I just don't want to do it. And she'll say, listen, would you please just try on these clothes? I mean, they're like free, and she's asking me to try them on. I'm like, oh, do I have to? Yeah, you got to try them on. So I got to take these off and put these clothes on. And some don't fit, you know, but some do. And she wants the tailor-made clothes that fit me. And when she gets them, she says, okay, they're yours, and I got these good clothes. Well, you see, that's what preaching is for you. God doesn't just want to throw a bunch of truth out there. He knows where you've been. He knows what you need. And so preaching is tailor-made to show you problems that have come into your heart. You know, the problem is your heart just keeps getting off the altar. You put it on a living sacrifice, but it keeps crawling off the altar. And God knows your heart wanders, prone to wander. And he therefore has preaching just that you need to get you back right with God, Brother Z. You know, I think of Ernest Pickering, our president of Baptist Bible. He was a great preacher, old-time fundamentalist preacher, southern preacher. And he played football. And he said, we played football. We'd play, Brother Sarge, and we'd come back to the huddle. And the quarterback would be calling the plays, you know. And every time we'd get back in the huddle, the running back would be thrown out of whack. His body would be crooked like this because he just got tackled. And so the quarterback would take him and pick him up and go and crack his back in. And he was straight, and he'd give him the ball, and he'd run for 10, 15 yards again. You know what? That's what preaching is supposed to do. You get out there in life, and you get thrown out of whack. You get thrown out of joint, Brother Matt. And God, through preaching, puts you back in line again so that you can run for God, so that you can play on the team of God. And the pastor is raised up to do that. He's, in fact, he's tailor-made to do that. And that's what I'd like to share with you in John, Revelation chapter 1, verse 20. Here's what it says. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven golden candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now, a preacher, a pastor, a head pastor is an angel. You know what an angel is? It just means not a heavenly angel, it's an earth angel. There used to be a song, Earth Angel, Earth Angel. Well, the pastor is an earth angel. And that means he's a messenger, he's the one who brings you the message. God wants a head pastor every week to bring you, listen to me, a tailor-made message that you need so that you can be edified. And so he gives that man, and he calls the pastor stars. And he says, those stars are in the right hand of the Lord. They're in the right hand of the Lord. That means the Lord controls them, and the message they give, if it's the prophesied word of the prophets of God, the Bible, is going to expose things in your life that are wrong, get you right with God, build you up, and bless your life. And so they are stars. You know what a star is. You know what a movie star is. You know what a sports star is. You know what a rock star is, right? What are they? Influencers. People get influenced by them. Do you know what you need to be influenced by? Your pastor. I'm going to magnify my office. The angel of the church. That's me for this church. The one that brings the message to the whole gathered church, or the one I appoint to bring the message. Last Sunday night, I appointed Bob Bajeski. So when he came with that authority and gave a much needed message. I heard that message. It was much needed. Brother Joe, likewise, Wednesday night, gave a much needed message. That's the authority. I'm just simply saying to you, the pastor is over the pulpit. And who preaches the pulpit? It's his leading of God. It's important to your life, not to shame you, but to build you up and to bless your life. And we're not afraid of movie stars. We should be. We're not afraid of sports stars, but sometime we should be. We're not afraid of rock stars, but we doggone well should be. Amen. But listen, how about your pastor? And I say your pastor because it's not somebody else's pastor you should be following. Although you can be benefited by that and understand, but you should be listening to your own preacher. You know, we get our Bible signed by everybody else, but I like it when somebody says, Pastor, would you sign my Bible? Because they recognize the importance of the pastor and his ministry and his gift. And I remember our pastor, he was under attack because he met some great men who were wise men, who were intelligent men. And he said, what's the use of me preaching? We have these men up here that they could go to and get with. And then he realized what the Bible says in Revelation 1:7. It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He realized that the Spirit of God was going to speak through the angel or the messenger, and he was the one appointed for this church to give the message. And so that a person that had the ear to hear would benefit from his preaching. So he needed to be doing what he was doing. And God gave him faith to use his gift. And let me tell you, the local church is the golden candlestick. And it is the divine. Gold it stands for God. You know, I hear people, they go to support groups like AA and this and that. You need to realize the golden divine support group is the local church. Everything you need is here. I like what Brother Bob said. It's one-stop shopping. It's all right here in the local church. But people are running hither and yon. You know why they're doing that? They're not submitted to the head of the church, who is Jesus Christ. They're just not. And you're not going to grow and max out and have all the rewards that God wants you to have. And so I want to say the Lord himself is present in a unique way when we're gathered together as a church. He said that when we're gathered together, whether it's a big congregation or small, he said, there what? I am in the midst of them. Hey, I want to be where Jesus is. Amen. And he's with the church. And by the way, he's still working through the church. And so it says seven times in Revelation 1:7, 11, 2:17, and right on, he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. You know what that means, Brother Matt? The message is tailor-made for you. And God wants you to hear it. And say, God, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to me? Not what are you saying to Kyle Donovan? Not what are you saying to Eric Zukoski? Not who's pastor trying to shame this morning in the church? No. Listen, what are you saying to me? You may know somebody, and I'm standing up here and I'm preaching, and you may know somebody that needs that message. You say, I know it, and I bet pastor knows it. But what you don't know, friend, you smarty pants, what you don't know is that I may have had five people in my personal counseling that I counseled about that same problem that I'm preaching on. And when I had those five people, I counseled them, and it's kind of like, hey, somebody comes up to me and says, Pastor, I was driving in Dixon City as I was coming to church, and right around, you know, about a mile away from the church, my car went into a pothole and popped my two front tires. And I said, oh, that's horrible. And then somebody else comes to me, Pastor, I got to tell you something. There's a big pothole there. And I fell into that pothole. My car disappeared. I've never seen it again. And on it goes. Now, five different people. Well, I'm going to get in church and make an announcement on Sunday. I'm going to stand up in the pulpit, get on a elevated thing. I'm going to say, you need to avoid that pothole there in Dixon City. Now, you see, you don't know about all those people. Maybe you don't even know about the pothole, but it's my job to warn you. And that's exactly what the apostle is talking about in the Bible, in Romans 15. Here's what it says. In verse 4, it says that you are filled with goodness. You are filled with goodness. I'm sorry, Romans 15, 14. Let me quote it. He says that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish. And that means to confront another person who has a pothole problem. To get him to avoid that pothole and get right with God. And he said that you are able to admonish, confront a problem to get a person to change. He said you're filled with knowledge and goodness. Goodness means you have a good motive. By the way, God has given me a heart as a pastor to want to benefit the people in this church. I'm not here to put them down. I'm here that they would max out for Christ. Just like a head coach, does that mean sometime you have to do some ripping? Yeah. But it's for your good. And that is the motive. Then there's the knowledge. I have to know the Bible. I like what Isaac, he's out of state today, but Isaac said when we were out, he said, one of the reasons I chose Scranton Revival Baptist Church is the messages are filled with Scripture. It's built on Scripture. And that's why I'm here. And you know, that is so important. You have the knowledge of the Word of God, that the preacher knows the Bible and will help you to build your life on the Word of God. And that will bless your life and build your life up. And so you need to hear it in that way. And then the secrets of your heart through that kind of prophesying that you can understand. And it needs to be understandable. Amen. You need to have a preacher not so smart you can't understand a word he says. I hope you can understand what I'm saying. I had a guy when I got out of seminary, he said, man, you are way above my head. He said, K-I-S-S, keep it simple, stupid. And I learned from that. make sure that people understand the Word of God and you take the profound and make it understandable. Why? So that you can see the secrets that other people might not know about, that you're not right with God, and you can get it right with God. And when God does that in your life, and then you can fall down on your face and worship God. You could come to this altar. Or perhaps you could say, you know what? I'm not 100% sure I'm going to heaven. And then you realize from the Word of God, you're not going to heaven, because if you've done one sin, you're not going to get into heaven. That sin has to be paid for by Jesus, and you have to accept Him as your Savior. And if you haven't done that, then you're not saved. And so, you know, when you get saved, Jesus comes in your life. By the way, there are people that say they got saved, but I don't see Jesus in their life at all. No change, no new birth. And the Bible says you're not saved if that happens. So preaching will expose these kinds of things, you see. And you can build your life on the foundation of Jesus Christ and on the Word of God. And you can come to church in that way. Not to say, oh, who is pastor preaching against today? No, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. To you, an individual. And it's a message for our church that's tailor-made to make God look good through your life. And if you respond to the Word, you'll do that. But if you're always, oh, the preacher's trying to get me and trying to save yourself from it, you're not going to grow and you're not going to benefit and you're not going to walk with God and you're not going to really go. You know, I talked to a guy a while back and he said, I have been listening to your messages every day, and I may listen to 3, 4, 5 messages. You can get them on Tithely, on our church app, or on the website. You know what? That's a great thing to do. I know Miss Diane does that. I've talked to others that have done that, and when they do it, a lot of times the devil will attack them because he doesn't want that, because he knows that those messages, listen to me today, they are tailor-made to make God look good in your life. And they're meant to build you solid and strong so you will be a mature, serving saint and a witness for God, a blessing to other people. The devil doesn't want that. But this is how you benefit, by realizing that and making sure you don't miss out on it. In fact, get more of it. And whatever God is saying in your life, make sure you don't miss it today. And if you need to get your heart right, get it right today and be here and be all in. And not just get it for yourself, but support it. Like Brother Joe has done through the years and others have done. Support it. I like what happened with Brother Joe. I'll close with this. He was off and a guy was counter-teaching what I preach from this pulpit. I preach that the revelatory sign gift was a foreign language given, and it was given supernaturally as a sign to the nation of Israel that didn't believe, so the nation would believe and get saved. And they rejected that sign, just like they rejected when God had the Babylonians come in and judge them and spoke in a foreign language. They rejected. And so the apostolic age was over. Israel was judged. And God withdrew that sign gift of tongues. And so it's not needed today. What we need today, we don't so much need prophecy today in the primary sense, but we do need it in this sense, to proclaim the Word of God. That's what we need today. That will build your life. And this guy kept counter-teaching the pastor. He just couldn't keep his mouth shut. And so he was up with Brother Joe thinking, oh, Brother Joe, he's not that mean, confrontational preacher. I don't think he would say mean. He loves me. I love him. But he would say to Brother Joe, he was saying something about tongues. And Brother Joe said, called his name and said, so-and-so, tongues are not for today. And he's just like, wow, Brother Joe. See, he amened the preaching. Amened it with his life. Don't be afraid to do that, you see. God will bless you. All right, let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. And we're here today and